broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
World famous. Okay. World famous Phil Hendry show. I had to run at that about 50 times before I do it. I mean, let me just say this, folks. I'm getting over a bit of laryngitis, a spot of laryngitis, as we call it, although it's more than a spot. And I practiced for the better part of an hour every now and again saying, world famous Phil Hendry show, world famous, because we start out at a pitch that was difficult for me earlier in the week and in the past 3 weeks with this. And no sooner do I open my mouth to start the show tonight, and it's world famous. Anyway, world famous Phil Hendry show, thank you for being with us. Our number 877-876-PHIL. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. You are invited to join us. You're also invited to just sit back, listen, and enjoy. You're invited also to join us on our website at philhendryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. You need a backstage pass, but with a backstage pass, you not only get your daily video cast, you also get a 5-day video cast archive. You get hours and hours and hours, years and years and years and years of archived radio material. Our podcasts, our classic Phil podcasts, which we are about to expand, our news feed, our email response, and much, much more, philhendryshow.com. All right, tonight we're going to have on Don Berman from Channel 19 News a very, very interesting news story and special that they're working on at Channel 19 News surrounding gay marriage, the possibility of gay marriage in the United States, the expansion of gay rights, etc., etc. Don Berman joins us, Emmy award-winning news anchor, in our next hour. This hour, Dr. Ron Turner is going to join us. And we're going to be talking about something we've never talked about on the program before, and that is Ancestry. Ancestry.com, if you will. Have you guys gone on Ancestry.com? I don't know. Have you got a subscription? Have you got a password? Have you got do you go on to Ancestry.com? I have. I've looked up. There's a very, very limited number of documents that I can look at because both of my parents were adopted at one point or another in their lives, and there's very sketchy information that we have about our extended family, but it's a fascinating site, and a lot of people use it. We're going to talk to Dr. Ron Turner in just a moment about Ancestry.com and the ups and the downs of that. So there's what's on tap for the show tonight. Had a great time at the Comic-Con yesterday and last evening, and I thank you for your indulgence as we spread the word of the Phil Hendry Show down in San Diego at Comic-Con. I was also hosting a panel for Napoleon Dynamite, not just the movie, but there's going to be an animated series that that I was a part of when we were producing it. And so I was moderating the panel. The Comic-Con in San Diego, the best way I can describe it, and I don't think that I'm talking out of school, and I think even the people that go to it would agree, it's like a nerd Woodstock or a dork fest, times 10. It's a huge event. It's at the convention center down there in San Diego near the Old Town part of San Diego. There's thousands of people that attend this thing, all kinds of TV shows, all kinds of comic books, and their illustrators and their writers represented. So that was fun, and I thank Fox for letting me be a part of that. And then tomorrow night, of course, is our KFI show. We will be live tomorrow night on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. That's our live local show. But here we are nationally, and want to remind you that our affiliate spotlight is on tonight, as usual, and this evening we spotlight KWAM in Memphis and WPSN Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Coming up on the 7th on Kevin Pollak's Chat Show. I'll be a guest of Kevin's, and he is located there at KevinPollakChatShow.com, August 7th, 3 p.m. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We haven't talked with Dr. Ron Turner in quite some time, but we've got him on the line here tonight. Dr. Turner, working out of the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. We've talked to you, Dr. Turner, about geophysics. We've talked about astrophysics. We've talked about education. We've talked about raising kids. You're the Renaissance man.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. I'm very proud to be to fill that role on your program.
Well, not only that, but much, much more. Many of the things that you're aware of scientifically, we're very happy to speak with you about. But Ancestry.com, I don't think I would ever be talking to you about it. I know you're a father. And
Yes, that I am. And my son just turned 10 years of age today.
Well, congratulations to the young man.
Thank you very much, and I know that Josh is listening, and we enjoyed ourselves taking in the Harry Potter movie. So
great, good for him. I guess he's crazy about that stuff.
Well, I think he would have enjoyed going to the Comic-Con with you. That sounds like something that would be right up his alley.
Well, they have it every year out here in San Diego, although I did hear some rumor that it will be in Las Vegas next year.
So a little bit closer to us.
Right. But as a father, you know, there is a lineage there. So you found yourself on Ancestry.com.
Well, I don't think it's an unusual thing, speaking to your audience, to be a part of the mystery of Ancestry, I think, is that we all want to know where we're from. We want to know who we are a part of. We want to know what families were a part of our family, what part of the world our family hails from. And sooner or later, we want to find out, the names of these people. How many of these people can we actually name? And how many of these people are we able to identify? And Ancestry.com has a feature, Phil, where they have what they call a leaf on the tree. So they will come up with a piece of information. The more you go searching, the more they help you.
No, I've seen that. And you take that little leaf, you click on that.
Yeah, well, you click on it, and it takes you to, another part of the your search, as it were. I got on to Ancestry.com 3 weeks ago because I told Josh that he and I together would look for these extended branches and these leaves, and more or less look for our ancestors as far back as we could in the 19th century.
Do you know where what is the understanding in your family of where your people come from originally?
Well, as with most American families, it's a bit of a mixed bag. But my understanding was that I had a great grandfather that came here following the end of the Civil War, and he was a Frenchman, and he came by way of Mexico. He'd been in Mexico fighting on behalf of the Emperor of France, and was mustered out somehow and came north and settled in the United States. And I had a grandfather on my mother's side, a great-great-grandfather on my mother's side, Phil, who was from Germany and apparently came here just as an immigrant at the turn of the century. That's what our understanding was. As I got into Ancestry.com, and what you do is you buy a subscription. And that was the part that I felt, a little funny about, although I think that, you run a subscription site, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's worth it, it's worth it.
Well, we felt that, I was talking to Josh, my son. I said, well, we'll buy a year subscription, and we got logged in and signed it, or they'll tell you to sign in and log in, and however they tell you to do it, that's what we did. And I began this hunt. Now, I know, without going into a lot of detail, I know my mother's maiden name.
What is your mother's maiden name?
Berger.
What is it?
Berger.
Berger.
Yes. I looked up her father, my grandfather, and then we went to, and that would be Josh's great-grandfather, and then we looked up my father's side. And I suddenly realized that the second day, and we went back, I was finding that there were branches of the family tree, or there were names coming up that appeared in areas of the country and under occupations that I had some uneasiness about. And I looked at Josh, and I asked him to leave the room and he asked me why. And I said, because I think that I've uncovered something here that I don't think I want you to see until I know.
Well, what was it?
Well, I uncovered the members of our family that, for instance, at one time lived in Florida, and they were in Florida for a couple of generations. There was a branch of the family that had returned to Mexico. There was a branch of the family that apparently had lived in an area about south of New York. I don't know the name of the mountains, but are you familiar with the name Jackson Whites?
And I know the Jackson Whites, yes. They're considered to be Native American.
Well, they're a little more than Native American. They are mixed Native, German, African American, blood. They are an unusual people. They're an unusual-looking people. I was startled when I found out that one of my ancestors was a Jackson White. So I told my son at that time that we needed to think about it. I wanted a 48-hour cooling-off period.
And what does that mean, a 48-hour cooling-off period? Because what I'm going to find out here is, what has happened now? You've been going into Ancestry.com.
Yeah, well, the cooling-off period was for me to think about whether or not I wanted to expose my son to this.
Well, what exactly are you exposing your son to?
Well, Phil, we're talking about a family, a very proud family of doctors and scientists, and we've had newspaper men in my family. But suddenly, a couple of generations back, I've got people in my family that lived in rural Florida, no occupation listed. There was, I'll be honest with you, there was a mixed race marriage, one or two mixed race marriages. These people seemed to owned mule teams, or they were teamsters, which means they owned mule teams, or they had something to do with.
Well, they had something to do with driving freight.
Not necessarily. If you were a teamster, it doesn't mean you were driving freight. You could have just been someone that was shoeing a mule. And the people that did those jobs were of a lower social order and generally threw in with the people of the day that might have been thieves or liars or this kind of. So I wanted to make sure I do. And sure enough, when I looked up the next day the names of my family in Florida and Mexico and some of them in the state of New York, these Jackson Whites, I had members of my family, Phil, that have a very suspicious roots, very, very suspicious and, dare I say, frightening ancestry.
You have what you call frightening ancestry.
Yes. Now,
all right, hold the line here because I want to get back to you. I've got to take a break. Ron Tarner is with us as we talk about Ancestry.com. And the fact that he went on Ancestry.com, he and his son, to find out the family history. And in so doing, he said that he discovered the family goes, some of the family settled in rural Florida, and they were teamsters, or they shooed mules or something. Some of them were in Mexico, and others were Jackson Whites, which is, frankly, a derogatory term for a group of native people who live in northern New Jersey in a very, very small specific area, and they are of mixed heritage, not only Anglo, but they're Hessian German. And when I say that, they were descendants of Hessian German soldiers, as well as African American, as well as Native American. So they're a very unique people. They're registered as a Native American people, but unfortunately they've gotten a bad rap, and we're going to talk to Dr. Tarner a little bit more about this. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're also going to find out what he means by having a cooling-off period that he didn't want to tell his son about being a Jackson White. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on.
That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me here is Don Berman from, excuse me, Don's Next Hour. We got Ron Tarner with us. I apologize. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Ron, you said you got a couple of emails?
Well, there was an email I got here from, I don't know if this is one of your classmates, Josh? It's from my office where they get to the point. And I know who this is from. It's from Charlie Mettinger, who is a research assistant. And I would say to you, Charlie, if you're listening, I'm going to get to the point. And I don't appreciate you sending an email like that my son would read. And I will further say that if you want me to get to the point, watch how I get to the point. When I get to work tomorrow, And
all right, well, there's no need, Ron, okay?
Well, I don't like my son seeing those kinds of things.
Oh, I think the man is simply saying, and I understand, it's rude, okay?
No, yeah, exactly. That's all you need to say is it's rude. All right?
No, you're absolutely right, it's rude. May I say, though, that we can speed the story up a little bit?
Well, I don't understand what you mean, speed. I'm telling you the story that I took my son onto Ancestry.com. Understand that?
Yes, I understand. And you found some things in the ancestry of your family that you're not proud of.
Well, not only am I not proud of it, I am concerned. Concerned. I am concerned for what I found there. I found that my family has bloodline leading to a group of people that live in a very specific and, may I say, cut off and segregated mountain range in northern New Jersey, whereby they were only 40 miles from Manhattan, and yet they were a group of people who looked like blue-eyed Mexicans. Questions about chromosomal damage, questions about macrocephalic, these are worrisome things.
And are you talking about these Jackson Whites?
Yes, that's what I was saying to you.
And you're worried that your family line somehow goes into this tribe? I've never heard of chromosomal damage or macrocephalic.
Well, you know what, Phil? All you have to do, and forgive me, this is my fault. This is my fault. But, you know, if you watch The Hills Have Eyes more than once, it sticks with you. And
The Hills Have Eyes is a horror movie.
I understand that.
Well, it's got nothing to do with your family. If you're telling me that...
No, I'm not saying it has... I'm saying it stays with you if you've seen the film more than once. All right, I go on Ancestry.com. I watch... Here is how it rolled out. Josh and I watched the new version of The Hills Has... The Hills Has Eyes. Not The Hills Has Eyes. The Hill Has an Eye, or... What is it, Josh?
Yeah.
No. Hold on. Let me ask you a question, Phil.
We need to move on, though.
We're going to move on, but I want to ask you, have your sons or your daughters ever called you a douchebag? I want to ask you a question.
No, they have not.
Okay, well, my son just did. My son just called me. Why do you call me that? I said it's called The Hill Has an Eye. That's what you told me it was called.
The film is called The Hills Have Eyes.
The Hills Have Eyes. That's what Mr. Hayden said it was called. And again, my son calls me a douchebag. So let me ask you a question. At what point do I hang the phone up? Hold on for a minute.
Wait a minute. Ron, hold on.
You know, you've called me Don. You've called... Hold on. Come here. Stay right there. Stand right there.
If you're going to punish your son, I'd rather you not do it while you're on the air with me.
I would rather not do it while I'm on the air with you as well, Phil. But when my son calls me a douchebag, which I think your audience might have heard, that's when the gloves come off and all other business is suspended.
Okay. I don't find it to be something I want to hear. My audience doesn't want to hear it. And I'm not commenting on corporal punishment. Would you please not do that?
If my son calls me a douchebag.
Your son called you a douchebag because you called the movie The Hill Has an Eye. The name of the movie is The Hills Have Eyes.
Yes, I know that now. All my son needed to do was correct me. What I said is the movie called The Hill Had an Eye, and he said, what a douchebag, in that voice that teenage kids will use. And that's when I said, we're suspending all business. And I went to the door, and I hung a sign, which we have in the kitchen. You see, I'm the only parent my son has, Phil.
And I know the story, Ron. I know that you do very well by your son. I'm very, very, I admire you. He has no real mother. I understand that she ran off, or how you described it. And I understand that you've been a tremendous father to the boy. Tremendous. I'm just saying, let's have some fun tonight. You know?
All right, that's fair enough.
Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's talk a little bit. This doesn't have to be a horrible thing. And we're smacking the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he called me a douchebag, and I don't know what you're supposed to do. You know?
Well, if my kids called me a douchebag, I don't know. You're not asking my advice.
No, I'm not. But go ahead.
All right. I mean, I would say to them, don't call me that again. You call me that again, then we're going to, take away something.
No, I don't play that. No, that's where you're going. Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Well, I mean, I do. I say, you know, you don't get to use the computer. You don't get to watch TV.
No, I don't play that. I don't play that, no. In the words of, what was the show? Hobie don't play, no. Hobie don't play that. All right.
All right, well, we've run out of time.
What are you talking about?
I mean, we've run out of time in this segment.
All right, when we get, can I get to the point then, like that guy's...
Yes, but we've been talking about douchebag and slapping a kid and the hill has an eye. So hold on. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
The hills have eyes, is what I said.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And you can watch us on philhenryshow.com, Phil TV in HD, every single night, high-definition video of our show, watching us perform this crazy show of ours. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow, Colorado. He is the director of the observatory there. We're talking, though, tonight about Ancestry.com. And many of us access Ancestry.com. It's a very successful business, a very successful website. It is a paywall, if you will, site, or a subscription site. And you do pay a subscription service. But once you do, you enter your name into a variety of search engines. And there are a number of documents. Ron, you say that your journey to Ancestry.com was disappointing.
Disappointing, Phil. It was shocking. It was jarring because you have to understand.
You found information that you did not find to be flattering.
Well, I found it. If you want to be proud of your family and you're telling people, as we all do, well, my family goes back to this period. My family. I've got a very dear friend of mine. He and his wife can. Show you, and they have these pictures hung in their home of their ancestors in the Civil War. Now, I would think that's something to be very proud of, and I'd love to be able to do that. But as we went back and we looked, we found that a branch of our family, which had originally settled in Pennsylvania, extended south to Florida. And this was the part that gave me a pause, and this is when I asked Josh to leave the room, and I told him to get out of the room. I knew as soon as I got on I saw that the Tarter family had been in Florida, in the Everglades. So that's going to, as I'm sure you understand, right, Phil? You know,
no, the Everglades?
Yes, these were white people in the Everglades. They were not Native Americans. They were white people. And when I saw that, I told my son, as calmly as I could, and I didn't want to show or betray any emotion at all. I said, Josh, would you please leave the room? And he said, why? And I said, because I asked you to, because I don't play that, oh, I'll explain life to them. Isn't that right, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he finds out, he calls me a douchebag, or he tells me this or that, or asks me questions. He finds out what for. So I asked him to leave. And it's the first time in my life, Phil, and I will tell you a story.
Before you tell me the story, I want to be clear. You were shocked and you were jarred when you saw that your family had lived in the Everglades. What years are we talking about?
We're talking about the 1870s.
Okay, and that shocked you.
Yes, it did shock me. I don't think I've ever met anyone, Phil, until I've talked to you, that when I said, my family tree makes a momentary stop in the Everglades and I'm white, I don't think I've ever said that to anyone without them looking concerned with a look of solicitation, and they look as if they want to help. I think it's only human.
Why would I want to look that way if you tell me your family...
I said we're white people. I'm a white man. You understand that?
Yes, I know you're white. So your family extends into the Everglades. You're white, and that means that people should feel sorry for you.
I don't have the time right now to get into the minutia of something that most people understand. But yes, because if you think of the Everglades of Florida and you know anything about history, and I'm sure you've often told me that you do, well, obviously you don't. white people that went into the Everglades fell in with the Seminoles and fell in with runaway slaves. And that means just one thing. They themselves became members of a band of, at times, yes, cutthroats, thieves, poachers, liars. They were, Phil, they were a de facto criminal gang, violating everything, boating ordinances. There was a certain uniform code above the native people that was put down there by the army, that they could only dress a certain way. All of this was violated by them. And
well, I don't know anything about boating ordinances or how they're supposed to dress, but you find shame in this, and so you told your son to leave the room, and you mentioned that you had to take a drink?
I had to take a drink to steady my nerves, yes. Then, after I'd found out about the Tarter family going into the Everglades and staying there for 20 years, and then the name came out. So what you do is you look, and you see the name Tarter, then it's Georgia, Florida, and then suddenly there's no mention of Tarter anywhere in the country, and you realize what's happened. The family is in Florida, it's in the Everglades, and it's getting more and more debauched. It's getting more and more, it's degenerating. And then the name reappears, and where does it reappear? Somewhere where maybe there could be some rehabilitation? Somewhere where perhaps there could be something attached to our family name that is worthy? No, it reappears in Mexico.
And well, come on, man. How, you know, why is that a bad thing? There were a lot of Americans that went to Mexico for a variety of reasons, not all of them criminal.
Well, all right, I'll give you that. But my people were in Mexico for a good 20 years, and there was no occupation given. No occupation given at all. There was, at one point, there's a Tarter that operated a telegraph office for 6 months, then the family name disappears. Then another Tarter pops up, telegraph office, mailman, family name disappears, disappear, and we go back again to this mule skinning and silversmithing and blacksmithing. So by the time we finally made it back to the United States, the Tarter family is decrepit and needs a rehabilitation the likes of you would believe, which started with my own grandfather. So I asked Josh to get out of the room while I steadied my nerves with a drink. What am I going to say to him?
Well, you could say anything to him. You could say, look at the colorful past our family has. Look at the amazing and colorful people we have in our... I mean, we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have mule skinners, we have teamsters, we have guys that ran telegraph offices. We even have a bunch of people that fell in with the Seminole Indians in the Everglades. Why can't you make it an adventure for that boy so that he sees that his bloodline comes from a multitude of fascinating people?
A multitude of fascinating people, huh? Let me ask you a question, Phil. What if you found out that your bloodline led right to Edgar Allan Poe's? Would you be proud of that?
I'd be very proud of that.
You'd be proud of the fact that he was a great writer?
Yes.
And you'd be proud of the fact that Edgar Allan Poe gave birth to a whole school of American literature?
Yeah.
And the fact that he was an opium user and quite possibly was mad? Yeah, now he's thinking about it, huh? Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Hey! Yeah! Want some more? Douchebag. Again? Douchebag.
What are you doing to that kid?
Hey, let me tell you something, Froggy. Okay, Froggy? What are you doing to that kid? I'll deal with my own son. All right?
Your son was coming to my defense. You're being a little ridiculous, and you slapped that kid 3 times. Why? Because he called you a douchebag? Because you're saying to me, what, I got madness in my family?
I'm telling you, Phil, that if your family bloodline leads to Edgar Allan Poe, oh, God, I can't even say his name. Edgar Allan Poe.
Poe. P-O-E.
What is it?
Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, that you have madness. Madness, I tell you. You understand, Phil, that it's possible one of your grandmothers was sealed up in a brick wall somewhere because she was mad. You understand that, don't you?
No, I don't understand that. As a matter of fact, I don't think of the possibility. And I'll go you one further. I think your whole thing with ancestry is bizarre. I think you've slapped your kid 4 times on the air.
Hold on, wait a minute. Where are you going? A yoo-hoo?
Why'd you slap him for that?
He's going to get a yoo-hoo? Those are mine. Mine. The reason why I'm talking to you like this, Phil...
You slapped your kid because he went to get a chocolate drink.
They're mine. Mine. M-I-N-E. Mine. The reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, Phil, is there is a great deal of concern to be had if your family and its bloodline leads back through a succession of mad miscreants. People who are misshapen, malformed, people that only came out at night, people that might have lived in tunnels and under... Oh, man. Did you ever read H.P. Lovecraft?
All right, look, you have taken this idea of ancestry...
Well, I'll tell you, hold on for a minute.
No, you've taken the whole thing and you've turned it on its head. It's no longer fun for anybody.
No, hold on for a minute. I came on your program for one reason, Phil, and that was to tell your listeners that if they get into this ancestry game, they are liable to be faced with a world of heartache. A world of heartache because of what you find when you look up your own ancestry. You think you're going to find something great. And there's a commercial that I see where the man says, you know, I found out that my father was a slave, but he died a businessman. Well, okay. How did he die, though? Probably run over by a streetcar because some whites tried to get him to sell and he wouldn't.
Now, there's nothing in that man's commercial or anything in that man's life.
Nothing in that man's commercial. What, do you think he produced it?
I'm saying there's nothing in that commercial that indicates that.
That indicates that? Well, I'll tell you.
I've got a cold that I'm getting over.
They don't say it in the commercial, Phil. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. The man said, my great-grandfather, whatever it was, my great-grandfather was a slave, but he died a businessman. And then I would step in and say, and how did he die? He was run over by a streetcar.
You know, what you're doing there is you're taking a slice out of Malcolm X's life and what happened to his father. Why would you do that?
I'm saying simply that man's father might have become a prominent businessman and talked out of turn and got some of these the Klan. They might have gotten upset.
All right, okay, so the man's commercial should have said, my father or great-grandfather...
That was great's father.
Great-grandfather was a slave but died a businessman. Oh, and by the way he died, run over by a streetcar.
No, not, oh, by the way. But to do it right and to do it so that you could be proud is you say, he was a slave, he died a businessman after being run over by a streetcar. You mean he was a businessman after he got run over by a streetcar? What made him a businessman? The streetcar? No. He was...
I understand, and I think what's happening here is this obsession you have with family and family name has, I believe, is over the top. You've smacked your kid four times on the air here. You have...
That's got nothing to do with family. My son called me a douchebag. God! You let that happen, huh?
I don't think the boy should call you that. You're right. But if the kid was out of line, just send him out of the room.
He's here because this is the reason why I'm talking to you about this. My son wanted me to be on Ancestry.com.
And then you get into this whole The Hills Have Eyes. Now, that's a science fiction movie about a bunch of freaks that live up in the mountains. You're trying to tell me that your family is like that because they come from Florida and upstate New Jersey.
That's exactly correct, because of what I've read. And I will think that until the day I die. I will think that until the day I die, possibly at the hands of one of those things that came out of the mountains in The Hill Had an Eye. Or The Hill Had... What is it? Yeah, there he goes. He called me a douchebag. The Hills Have Eyes. And I will think that...
Hold on. We have to take another break.
Oh, you have to take more breaks.
Yeah, it's called a commercial break. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
What a smartass. Ron Tarner, as we talk tonight about Ancestry.com and going on Ancestry.com with his son and discovering that the family line went into some places that he didn't feel comfortable with. Florida, northern New Jersey, and Mexico. Sent his son out of the room. Had a drink to steady his nerves as he realized his family might have been mule skinners, teamsters, telegraph office operators, and possibly members of the Jackson Whites. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are speaking tonight with Ron Tarner. I don't know if this is the actual book that you want me to get, Ron. This is The Grand Design, The Strategy for the U.S. in the Civil War.
No, not that. The what?
It says The Grand Design, Strategy for the U.S. in the Civil War.
No, I'm talking about Hawking's book, Stephen Hawking's book, where he denies the existence of a God, of a loving, breathing, living God, Stephen Hawking, who one would think would do everything in his power, and that's not a lot, not just him, but throwing his girlfriends, it's formidable.
And all right, you know, that the personal issues that you have with him.
He would do everything in his power to believe in a God, and Stephen Hawking has done the opposite thing. And I am here to tell you that I find that to be, frankly, Phil, I think it's remarkable. Just remarkable that the man would not even acknowledge the existence of God in a way of saying, well, I know that I sit in a wheelchair and I'm as crumpled up as a pair of socks. I am as crippled up as they come. And, you know, in order for me to scratch my neck, all I have to do is bite it. And
okay, you're laughing, too.
Well,
right there on the screen, people can see Stephen Hawking's book.
Yes, right there. There it is. There you go. There it is right there. Thank you, Phil. On your video cast, Stephen Hawking and Leonard Moldenoy. You know what that means, don't you, Phil?
Yeah, it means that the man helped him write it.
Helped him write it. He probably did write it. But Hawking gets big. He gets the big billing because he's Stephen Hawking and his you-know-what doesn't smell. Well, I got news for you. If anybody smells, his does. Take one good long...
All right. So, Stephen Hawking. So, what does this have to do with Ancestry.com?
No, I didn't come on your program to argue. And
no, sir, and I didn't want you to come on my program to argue, and I don't want to argue. You're the one that's been slapping your son, you know.
I slapped my son because he called me a douchebag because I didn't know the name of The Hills Have Eyes.
Well, it's a ridiculous film to bring up when you're talking about your ancestors.
Why is that?
You think that your ancestors, because they come from Florida and Mexico, are right out of The Hills Have Eyes. First of all, I find that to be laughably ridiculous. Secondly, when your son called you a douchebag, you slapped him not once but five times. Kick him out of the room.
Well, I'll tell you something about Stephen Hawking, and I brought this up with my son, Josh. Stephen Hawking is a man who not only has stolen the ideas that he has, Stephen Hawking is not only a man who's written some of the most vile, and I will give him this, and funny Polish jokes that I've ever written, that I've ever read. And it's amazing to me that Hawking can write these Polish jokes that are so hysterically funny and yet so blatantly, ethically inappropriate, and people love him for it. They love him. Now, Hawking came out 2 weeks ago. It was a mixer we were having for one of the professors that's retiring. And Stephen was at it, and we were all at the bar, and there's Hawking. He was having whatever he was having. And he said, through that machine that he talks through, that he had just done a lineage search using the government resources in Great Britain, and that his people go all the way back to the Middle Ages and King Arthur and a whole bunch of absolute balderdash, but he had a beaten out of his hand.
And this was Stephen Hawking?
Yes.
And he said that his family goes back to who?
Oh, that his family goes all the way back to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table, and Guinevere was one, and the other guy, who's the other guy? Lancelot? And
well, I mean, his family can't be both of them. They were, I mean, that's nuts. Lancelot was from France.
Well, I don't know, but the point being, I understand the players, Phil. I know that Lancelot fell in love with Guinevere, and if they were related, they were related. You know, that's the way they did it back then. But the fact of the matter is, Hawking is there having his cocktail.
I'm just curious. Stephen Hawking is there in a wheelchair, you know.
Well, he's in that little automatic chair of his, yeah.
And he's having a cocktail how?
They got it piped through in a straw. I don't know how but that's what he's, and then when he would stop at the straw and then push a button, and you hear that.
By the way, did I tell you?
What are you laughing at?
Well, what do you think I'm laughing at?
All right. Well, I did the impression. Isn't that right, Josh?
Pretty much right
here. See, Josh said that's how he sounds.
And so what? He said, by the way.
Yeah, he goes, by the way. I don't know. He goes,
by the way, did I tell you my family goes back to King Arthur?
And I took the machine. I shouldn't have done this, but I took the little microphone away from him, and I went,
bull crap.
And that's when they hustled him out of there. But I can.
What do you mean the microphone?
Well, there's a microphone, an external microphone. You can take it and talk through the machine. And they got upset with me. But I tell you what, I scored one there, and I got a couple of laughs because I don't like it. Hawking is big enough, and Hawking made this book, and there it is. Why don't you get it off of there, Phil, because it's driving me nuts looking at that. Thank you.
Well, I thought you wanted me to, I have it up there.
Well, you're selling his book. So is that the end? All right, my book is going to be coming out. It's called The Heartache of Ancestry.com. The Heartache and the Heartbreak of Ancestry.com and Psoriasis. And it's coming out this spring.
All right, good luck with that. Dr. Ron Turner.
Thank you, Phil.
We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
The Heartache of Psoriasis.